Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And a good day to you. Jeff Cavins with you on the Rediscover Hour. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful week so far, or having a wonderful week. And Paul, you're joining me today.
You've got me today. Corey is off at a wedding in Texas, her home state. And we will see her come back hopefully next week.
Oh, I hope so. Hey, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about the Archdiocese and Youth Day and some of the topics related to that. Kim Alex is going to join us in just a few minutes and talking about bringing kids to this event. And she is quite a lady and very involved in the event. And also Sister Miriam Heidland. She's one of the guest speakers. She has a brand new book called Loved As I Am. And we're going to talk to her about this event and ministering to young people in general. And I'm really looking forward today to talking with Laura Sobiak. And she is the mother of Zach Sobiak. Many of you, if not most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the very, very moving story. And that beautiful song that went to, number one, didn't
it? We'll get to hear some of it, too.
We will. Very, very good. I'm looking forward to that, talking to Laura in just a little bit. She's from the Twin Cities here. But we're getting...
We're recovering
from the big Catholic
recovering
celebration.
From Rediscover.
You know, it's amazing because you talk about that for so long. I think since March or April we've been talking about it together,
right.
Paul.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the event comes and it's gone, and you think, wow.
But it stays with us.
Yes, it lingers. Oh. There's an afterglow,
oh,
isn't there?
Oh, my, what an event, though.
Oh, it was. You know, we had over 5,500 people join us at the convention center. And the guest speakers that we had, they were incredible. We had Dr. Scott Hahn, and Bishop Coakley knocked it out of the park.
He did.
And we had Leah Darrow, and we had Father Stan Fortuna, Father Dwyer from Busted Halo. We had Kelly Walquist and Alyssa Bormis.
Uh-huh.
They were there, along with... Matthew Christoff and Father Bear, and Judy Cousins joined
us. Judy Cousins and you did a fantastic session on grandparenting spirituality.
Well, she's good. I mean,
yeah.
She knows what she's talking about. If you can raise a bishop, you can certainly talk about being a supernatural.
In case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, she's the mother of Bishop Andrew Cousins.
Well, you know what? Speaking about Andrew Cousins, you know, I've got to tell you, I just got back from Atchison, Kansas yesterday.
Okay.
And I went to Benedictine, spoke there for a couple of days, and that's the school that Bishop Cousins graduated from.
Okay.
And he did the opening mass with Pat Lencioni earlier this year, the opening mass of the year, the school year. And I found out something interesting about our own Bishop Cousins. Back in the early 90s, when he was a student, the school was actually in trouble, and it was really only about a couple years from closing. And this young man, along with about four other young men, started a prayer group, and they prayed and prayed and prayed. And the current administration gives credit to Bishop Cousins and his friends for spiritually turning around the trajectory of that entire college.
The prayer warriors.
Oh, I think there's a story there, and I'd like to talk about that later someday on the Rediscover Hour.
We'll do that.
But, you know, we had... you know, check out the Catholic Spirit. There's a whole spread in the middle about the event. And, you know, kudos to the seminarians and the Catechetical Institute. And you guys did such a good job when you were there. It was really an amazing thing. The young people from Benilde St. Margaret's came together and sang the happy song in response to Catholic education in our archdiocese. And it surprised people in the crowd. Suddenly, all these kids got up with microphones and started singing, dancing, and moving to the stage. But what about that beginning where the three bishops came out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's your recollection
there?
Well,
my recollection is a roaring standing ovation. Not only for the bishops, but also for the seminarians who
mm-hmm.
came out.
Yeah.
They got two standing ovations. Just amazing. It's wonderful to see such faith expressed in such an enthusiastic way.
It was moving. I mean, it's not very often that you're going to see all the seminarians together in one place. And when it was Father Williams who did a video there, a beautiful video explaining seminarian life and what St. Paul's Seminary is all about. And as he's talking, all the seminarians come up on the stage. I don't think people realized what was happening as all these men in black started walking up
there. I saw
them
off on the side, and I could see what was coming.
Well, once they got up there, it was over. People just stood. It was one of those God moments where you have God bumps.
Uh-huh.
For those of you that don't know what God bumps are, just talk about goosebumps and make it Christian. That's what we had. That's what we had there that day. But, you know, upward and onward, we've got another big conference coming up in the Twin Cities. That's the Archdiocesan Youth Day, and that's going to be taking place October 25th. That's a Saturday, October 25th. Have you been there before, Paul?
I haven't. I haven't. But I've heard stories.
It's good. It's good.
It's
you know what?
Big.
It's going to go from 1:30 in the afternoon to 9 p.m. Check-ins at 12:30, and it's going to be at the University of St. Thomas in the beautiful new field house there. I think that's where the men were last year, and it's really a nice facility for a conference. That's where the Archdiocesan Youth Day will be. That's Saturday, October 25th, and the event includes some music featuring, hey, Sonar. they're busy. They were just at the celebration.
Sonar.
You know what? One of the biggest comments that I got, one of the greatest comments I got about the celebration was the music.
Yeah.
We had Marie Miller.
Marie was great.
And
loved
Sonar
her.
Was great. And how about that beautiful choir during Mass from the Chesterton High School in St. Agnes?
Weren't they amazing?
In fact, the Archbishop even called them out there and gave them kudos.
Yeah.
Right there. That was great. So there's going to be at the Archdiocesan Youth Day, there's going to be opportunities for reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration, activities, and service projects. And Archbishop John Neinstead, who's over in Kenya right now.
That's right.
Is going to be at that event, and he's going to be celebrating with the young people. One of the ladies that's coming to that event is Kim Alex. And Kim Alex is going to, she graduated from the College of St. Benedict in St. Joseph, earned a Bachelor of Arts in Theology with a concentration in pastoral ministry, and she's the Director of Faith Formation for Junior High and High School Youth at St. Henry's in Monticello. And she's a mother of five, and she's going to be coming to the event and hopefully bringing a whole bunch of children. Kim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's a privilege to have you. You know, a lot of people, Kim, this isn't your first Archdiocesan Youth Day, is it?
It is not, no. We were blessed to take a delegation our first year. We missed last year, but we're really excited to be bringing 70 students this year.
70, fantastic. For those that have never been there, Kim, give us a little synopsis. What can they expect if they send their kids off to this youth day?
You know, you talked about Sonar, so we have great music there. But I think what's really great is just being able to evangelize to the youth, for the youth. They're going to see this year over 1,900 students already registered.
How many was that?
1,900, so 1,900.
Wow. That's big.
It is, and it just keeps growing every year, Jeff. It's incredible.
In your experience, how does a day like this affect teens? What happens in the life of a teenager when they get together with 2,000 other people just like themselves?
You know, I was blessed to be able to actually go to Rediscover last weekend with my family,
uh-huh.
And it's very similar. It's teenagers being able to be on fire with the Holy Spirit afterwards. Seeing that they're not alone, that they're able to share that joy. And, you know, our theme this year is the thirst for happiness, which comes from Pope Francis's message from World Youth Day.
The thirst for happiness, I like it.
Yeah, it's really just being able to understand how blessed we are to be happy and what makes us truly happy.
Pause with your thoughts on Catholic Youth Day just for a moment. Going back to this last weekend, what happened to you this last weekend at our big Rediscover Catholic celebration?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. My two children, who I found out they had their picture taken and they're on the Catholic Spirit. My 5 and 6-year-old went to the children's program and they loved every minute of it. My husband's grandparents joined us as well, and they really enjoyed that great talk and session on being a grandparent, a supernatural grandparent. And for my husband and I, it was wonderful just for us to refocus and kind of reset ourselves to keeping our eyes on Christ. So it was an awesome weekend for our family.
Oh, that's good to hear. Well, I hope that the Catholic Youth Day is equally awesome or even eclipse what we did, because there's such a need for ministry for young people today. The things that our kids are facing, the life that they live with social media, in some ways kind of an artificial life and relationships, they need an opportunity to actually come together and be with one another. And in some ways, there's almost like a positive peer pressure when they get together to try to change their life.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And this day of our Diocesan Youth Day, it really does that for teens. They leave with a new vigor of love of their faith, which we really just pray for, and we hope that everyone who's listening will pray for us on October 25th.
Go ahead, Paul.
Paul here, and it seems to me, tell me what you think. It seems like youth ministry and an event like Archdiocesan Youth Day has kind of come of age over the years. I see a lot of opportunities for young people like Eucharistic Adoration and Reconciliation that might have been given short shrift a few decades back. Do you think we've grown in youth ministry?
I think we have. I think that just as you guys are both saying, there's almost a swing to find out what is true, what is real. And, you know, the truth, that is a beautiful thing that teenagers are really being drawn towards now because our society is so superficial. So we have 6 hours worth of reconciliation for the day.
Oh, man, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we have the whole day with Archbishop Neinstedt, and we also have both bishops joining us for part of the day. You know, it's going to be a fantastic time for the teens, and we know that they are very social media oriented, so they can actually do a hashtag of AYD14 to ask their questions to Archbishop Neinstedt. And Father Eric Lundgren, he will actually be having a session that evening to ask some of those questions that the teenagers have for our Archbishop.
For those of you that came to the celebration, Father Lundgren is over in Shakopee now, and he's the priest that was on the video at the celebration talking about young people in our schools today. What's the hashtag again on that, Kim?
Yep. It's hashtag AYD14.
Okay. For those that don't know what a hashtag is or what it's for, can you explain?
Sure. If you have Twitter or Facebook, you can search under the search bar for our hashtag, and then any student or adult or young adult who joins us for the event, they can actually see snapshots and quotes throughout the day of what's going on for the students.
In addition to that hashtag, I just throw into the mix here the hashtag BetOnHope to ask once again for people to tell us what their thoughts were and how the conference this last weekend really impacted them. That's the beautiful thing about social media. It's changed, hasn't it, Kim? Social media has changed the way youth communicate with one another, but it's also changed the way we as parents communicate to our youth.
Absolutely. I think that social media is really coming around now, and in ministry, we're able to enable and share the good word with anyone and everyone. And teenagers feel comfortable doing that in kind of a distant yet personal way. So I think, you know, the Bet on Hope hashtag and AYD14 hashtags are wonderful ways to be able to understand where our teenagers are at, especially.
Okay, so someone's driving down 35W right now or going east on 494, listening to you, Kim, saying, man, I'd like to get my kids there. How do they go about signing up and getting their kids over there for this great, great Archdiocesan Youth Day, Saturday, October 25th?
Sure. We have been registering as groups. So make sure that you go to your parish and talk to your parish youth minister, or if you have a youth ministry volunteer coordinator, and then they can sign up a whole group from the parish, and they will contact the Archdiocese, and we will run with the registration.
Are you getting buses coming down there? Is that how a lot of the kids are getting down there?
Yes. Like I said, you know, our first year we had 1,200 students, so we actually maxed out at capacity at the first location. Last year we had 1,500 students, so we maxed out again, which is why we've been blessed with being able to go to St. Thomas with our 1,900 students this year. So, yeah, we have buses, we have minivans, we have Suburbans. You know, we have just about any type of transportation for the event.
One of your speakers this year is Sister Miriam Heidlin. In fact, we're going to be talking to her in just a few minutes. She has a new book called Loved as I Am, An Invitation to Conversion, Healing, and Freedom Through Jesus. But I also understand that later on in the show, we have Laura Sobiak's going to be with us, Zach Sobiak's mother, and she was a speaker at the Catholic Youth Day, the Archdiocesan Youth Day in the past.
She was. You know, both are phenomenal women. We're really excited for Sister Miriam James to come and join us. I'm excited to hear more about her book through your talk today. And Zach Sobiak, he was such an inspiration to so many people, still is. And it's so great, you know, to be able to have his mother to talk more about his life and their family's life.
Well, that's coming up on the show just a little bit later on. Kim, thanks for joining us today. Really, really appreciate it. And we will certainly be in prayer, as I encourage all of you to pray for Kim, and as well as Sister Miriam James and all the kids who are going to be attending the Archdiocesan Youth Day. Once again, that's Saturday, October 25th. It's going to be at the Field House at St. Thomas. Get in touch with your local church and the youth department. Find out how are they getting down there. Get your kids on board. Have a great day, Kim. Appreciate it.
So much. God bless your weekend.
Yes. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek and I spending some time with you today. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Sister Miriam James. She's a part of SALT, the Society of Our Lady of the Most Blessed Trinity.
Hi, this is Paul Archambeau, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical need. Call Stinson Electric 612-424-7382.
I will never forget you. For your name I have carved on the palm of my hand.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins.
And I'm Paul Sadek.
Bye, Paul. Hey, that was an interesting interview with Kim. It's coming from a mother bringing kids down to this great archdiocese.
She's a busy lady.
She is. I wanted to ask her that. I didn't get the time, but I wanted to ask, how do you balance all of that in your life? Well, our next guest, talking about the great Archdiocesan Youth Day coming up October 25th at St. Thomas at the Field House, is Sister Miriam James Heidlin, and she is from SALT. And SALT is a great group of priests and sisters, Society of Our Lady of the Most Blessed Trinity. Sister Miriam, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you. You know, I love your order, and I have been involved with the priests down in Belize. They were down in Belize.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, your great founder over in Rome.
Yes.
And how's he doing?
Father Flanagan is 90 years old now, and uh-huh. God bless him. You know, he's really suffering from poor health, but he's hanging in there and really inspiring for all of us to be alive at the time of our founder. It's something very unprecedented.
Sister, can I tell you something very interesting about your founder?
What's that?
It was in the year 2003 that I went to Rome with my wife and family, and I spent the whole day with Father Flanagan. By the way, he's one of the few men that stormed Normandy and is alive to tell us about it today. But we spent the whole day with him because he was kind of a spiritual director for me. And I was invited that day to go visit Pope John Paul II in his private library.
Really?
I never told this story publicly before. But we were invited, and I was invited with the family, and I called up Father Flanagan. I said, Father, I'm going to go see the Pope today. And he said, oh, bless you. You know that Irish kind of accent he has. And I said, would you like to go with me? He says, absolutely. So we didn't take all the elevators up there to the library of John Paul II. We climbed all the stairs, and you know he's an older man. He climbed every one of those stairs. Wow. And when we went in to see the Holy Father, get this, I knelt down with my family, and the Holy Father blessed our family, and we spoke. Do you know what Father Flanagan did? He went over, and he blessed the Pope. He blessed the Pope. And I looked at it like, what's going on here? And Father Flanagan said, you know, Holy Father, he said, I know you give out blessings all day long, but I wanted to give you a blessing as a priest. And the Holy Father loved it. That was your founder, Father Flanagan. What a great guy.
That's beautiful. You know, I've seen the picture of that encounter, but I never knew the story behind it. That's wonderful. I didn't know that was with you. That's amazing.
Yeah, Steve McAvity was with us. He was the producer of Braveheart and the Passion of Christ.
So wow,
that was the last.
Cool.
That was actually the last day of filming in Rome, and Father Flanagan was a consultant for the resurrection scene, and
wow.
that was the day. But we're talking today about the big Catholic Youth Celebration, October 25th, and you're going
yes.
to be one of the keynote speakers. Tell us a little bit about your heart for young people today, and what do you hope to communicate to the young people in the Great Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis?
Yes, well, I'm delighted to be there, and it's just a wonderful event, and I'm looking forward to meeting all the young people. And I think for me, you know, I speak a lot to young people, and what burns in my heart is the desire for their freedom and healing. And just they're so inundated with so many lies and just such propaganda from the media about what it means to be happy and what it means to love, and God has such a better plan. And to be able to share that plan with them and just share with them some of the brokenness in my own life where I bought into the lies, but that God has come to heal me and continually heal me, I think it's something really important that needs to be said by the grace of God. So, yeah.
Well, I know that many of the, well, most of kids, all the kids really need to have a conversion experience in
yeah.
their life. You are not unlike them. I mean, you were an athlete. I'm assuming you still consider yourself an athlete. You're in fact, you got a scholarship.
Volleyball scholarship.
Yeah. From where was it, Paul? Nevada, Reno.
Right.
Yes.
Now that's a gamble right there. That's a gamble right there.
No pun intended.
No
yes,
pun intended.
Definitely.
But
yeah.
tell us a little bit about your conversion, because you're an athlete. You're involved mm-hmm. with you're involved in sports, just like all the kids today, or some mm-hmm. some type of activity. But God really got a hold of your life. How did that happen?
Yes, you know, I grew up like most people did, went to Mass on Sundays and went to CCD, but for me, I never had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I just followed the rules. And as you know, rule following after a while breaks down if there's no heart behind it. So I, you know, played volleyball, and I, you know, signed this school scholarship to a Division I university, and I wanted to work at ESPN or CNN or something like that. And I was really going to be somebody. I was going to make it, quote unquote. And so I found that I was trying to pursue this excellence, I guess, but on the inside, my heart was really broken. My life was broken. I was an addict. I had secrets I hadn't told anybody. And so I was like self-destructing from within. But on the outside, I had it all together, which that was the plan. You know, I thought if I looked perfect on the outside and I performed well enough, that you wouldn't notice that my life was a train wreck, because even I wasn't ready to deal with truth. I was so afraid of it. And it was really, honestly, two major things that happened to me, one of which was a Catholic priest God sent into my life. It just, over the course of several years, changed my destiny. I mean, just watching how he lived and such an authentic lover of Jesus Christ. And My mom at one point had got on her knees and finally given me away to her Blessed Mother, and she began praying that I'd become a nun, and that changed my life. So it wasn't magic. It wasn't like a St. Paul conversion. It was a long road of suffering before I finally realized, like, there's got to be more to life than this. Like, this cannot be all there is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing Christ call me out of that darkness was incredible.
How old were you at the time?
I was 22. I had just graduated from college, and this priest had invited me down to one of our missions. He was a priest in our community. He invited me down to one of our missions in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shortly after that I heard Jesus call me. I heard him, and I've known it. And that was 16 years ago. I've known it ever since.
That's a beautiful story. We're talking with Sister Miriam James, and she's with the Society of Our Lady, the Most Blessed Trinity. And Sister, you've got a new book coming out. Is the book out now with Ave Maria? It's called Loved As I Am. Is that out, or is it still yet to be born?
It's coming out November 10th, so
okay.
Yes, about 1 month away from today, a month from today, and yes, it's really a story of my own conversion, but also it's more of a story of healing and redemption, and so it has my story weaved into just what it means to be human, and what it means to be authentically alive, and I just sharing, you know, my own story where God comes into my darkness, just inviting readers just to be really honest with themselves, and where do you long for freedom in your life, you know, where do you long for truth and beauty, and you know, Jesus comes to meet us right there. So it's a story of really redemption and hope.
Sister Miriam, it's Paul. What do you hope to bring to the young people at Archdiocesan Youth Day? You're the keynote speaker, so you're the big gun.
I hope to bring to them a real message of authentic love, that God loves us more than we can possibly imagine, and his love for us has the power to overcome all the secrets in our life, all the darkness, all the areas that we doubt, and it's only in us being very honest, that our lives change. So it's a real invitation to honesty in their own life, and then encountering Christ, and not just once, but encountering him again.
Over and over.
And again, yes, yeah.
Any suggestions, sister, for parents? You know, as I talk to parents, I'm sure you talk to parents too, they feel frustrated. They feel like, I can't communicate to my kids anymore. They're off on their phone. They've got their little network, you know, their Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and so forth. Any advice to adults right now, parents that are thinking, sister, what do I do to communicate to my kids?
Yes, I hear that from parents around the nation, just weeping for their children, and it breaks my heart to hear that. And parents have to understand, especially with teenagers, that they are still the number one influence in their kids' lives. So the best gift parents can give to their kids, first and foremost, is to embark on a journey of healing themselves. And so, you know, we can't give what we don't have. So as parents, you know, really authentically inviting Christ into our areas of brokenness, and then we can really give kids the truth. You know, we can have honest dialogues with them and really engaging them in discussion. I think parents need to be really prudent about how much technology they're allowing in their house, because what I find is most parents don't even know what their kids are seeing on the internet. They have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's true that you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah, that's very true. And so really being willing to dialogue with kids and being honest with them and you know, sowing those seeds. And ultimately, you know, when kids grow up, they're adults. But if you sow a strong foundation, which is what my parents did in me, I wandered away and I had a lot of issues. But that foundation, you know, so to speak, paid off in the end. And don't give up on them. And that's something that when my mom comes with me to conferences to really point her out in the audience and say, you know, she'd had enough of me. She was so frustrated with my life, but she kept praying and fasting for me. And that's the power of prayer that we so often kind of just neglect, or we kind of maybe equate prayer with wishful thinking, but it's not.
Right.
God hears our prayers, and just to never give up, never give up. Keep loving your kids, keep being honest and truthful with them, set boundaries for them, and never give up on them.
Let's focus on that word prayer just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with Sister Miriam James, she's the keynote for the Archdiocesan Youth Day coming up October 25th at St. Thomas. Prayer. Talk to us for just a little bit about parents praying for their kids. Let's be specific. How do we go about praying for our kids? What do we pray and how do we pray?
I think first and foremost, entrusting your kids to our Blessed Mother is one of the best things you can possibly do, is to, like my mom did, to get on your knees and just give them to her and have her be their mother, that she would watch over them. That's very important. You know, she's the mother of Jesus. And we know that it's the mother of the kingdom that intercedes with the king. You know, she's powerful. She's so powerful. Offering things up for your kids, if you fast, you know, once or twice a week, offering things up for your kids, really making sure prayer is important in your life, whether that's in the morning or in the evening, but that we're committed as adults to interceding before God in prayer for our kids. And I think, you know, really praying for that God would heal them, that he would protect them from the influences of the evil one, but that he would also come, God would come to heal them as well. And so that's really something very, very important, that we're doing what we can in the authority that parents have. And parents have a true authority over their children, naturally and supernaturally. And they're exercising that authority in the name of Jesus Christ, that he would win the victory in their life.
Well, that's so well put. You know, I just might sneak in myself, Archdiocesan Youth Day, October 25th.
You're going to have
you
to get a fake ID.
Little brothers.
we'll both have to have fake IDs.
Reverse fake IDs, yeah. That's right. Well, sister, I really appreciate everything that you are doing. I'm looking forward to seeing your book and reading it, Loved as I Am, An Invitation to Conversion, Healing, and Freedom Through Jesus Christ. That is going to be coming out in November 10th. From Ave Maria Press, right? Ave Maria?
Yes.
That's going to be great. You know, you remind me, I'm going to put together this team of sister athletes from around the country. You remind me of Sister John Dominic. Sister John Dominic is one of the founders of the Dominican group out in Ann Arbor, Mother of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
She was an all-state basketball player.
Oh.
And I would like to see a bunch of you guys get together. You know, it'd be great. Maybe we'll do it in the Twin Cities. We'll have a conference on Catholicism and sports, and then the two of you can do an entire breakout.
That's great. You know, sports is such an avenue for virtue, as John Paul II used to say. I think it's sometimes we worship it in the wrong way, but it's really, if you follow it correctly, it's a really a great avenue for excellence and freedom in Christ. It's such a great training ground.
Sister, if people want to get in touch with you, what should they do?
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is One Groovy Nun.
Wait. What did you just say?
My Twitter handle is One Groovy Nun.
One Groovy Nun.
Yeah.
I'm going to have One Groovy Dad.
And I also have a blog. I'm in the process of updating it. It hasn't been updated in a while, but it's Nun Essential. So N-U-N Essential is my blog.
Oh, that's great. Well, you're a lot of fun. You're a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to, I might pop over there on the 25th to meet you.
That's delightful to see you, yes.
We'll have some Father Flanagan memories.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Great. Thanks for joining us today, Sister.
Thank you so much.
Sister Miriam James, she's the keynote for the upcoming Archdiocesan Youth Day. That's coming up October 25th. At St. Thomas at the Fieldhouse. If you want your kids to be a part of that, it's going to be about 2,000 of them there. You might as well send yours too. Could be a life-transforming event. Get in touch with the youth department at your parish. Ask, how are the kids getting down there? I want mine to get on board. I want them to be on the bus. Coming up, we're going to talk with Laura Sobiak, the mother of Zach Sobiak. You know the song, Clouds, went to number one on iTunes, and the story continues.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. The image of Our Lady with the Child Jesus in Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome is known simply as Salus Populi Romani, the protectress of the Roman people. Legend has it that the image was painted by Luke the Evangelist on the wood of the table of the Last Supper. Whatever its origin, Pope St. Gregory the Great had it processed through Rome in the 6th century to end an outbreak of the plague. Pope St. Pius V had it processed through Rome in the 16th century to pray for victory at the decisive naval battle of Lepanto. In August, it left Santa Maria Maggiore again, this time for Pope Francis' prayer vigil for peace at St. Peter's.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
That's the beautiful voice of Zach Sobiak. Clouds. I don't think there is a person in the Twin Cities that hasn't heard the story of Zach Sobiak or heard the song Clouds. And we find ourselves singing it all the time, and it's so catchy. Joining me is Zach's mom, Laura Sobiak, and she's been busy writing a book and doing a lot of other things, continuing the legacy, the story of Zach Sobiak. Laura, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
It's good to be with you. And I guess we do have something in common, and that is we've both done some Bible studies.
Yeah, well, I've taken yours, certainly, yes. So thrilled to have done that, too.
You know, I don't know of many stories in my life that have been so touching, and I don't know of many stories, certainly, in the Twin Cities that have touched more lives than the story of Zach, your son, and what happened to him, and what he went through, and the fruit that has come forth from it. For those that maybe have moved here or they need their memory refreshed, Laura, give us a little background on the story of your wonderful son.
Sure. So 5 years ago, Zach was 14 years old. He was just entering into Stillwater Junior High, and he went for a run. He was a basketball player, and he'd been laying around all summer, and he needed to get in shape to try out for basketball. And so he and his sister went for a run, and he came back from that run with a pain in his hip that just wouldn't go away. So we took him to the doctor and couldn't find anything obvious on the x-ray. he did 2.5 months of physical therapy and he wasn't getting any better. So we took him in for an MRI, and that was November of 2009. And that's when we found a tumor in his hip. It turned out to be osteosarcoma, which is a rare and a very aggressive form of bone cancer that's found primarily in children. And so we proceeded with chemotherapy and surgery, and things were looking really great, and then they weren't. And we ran out of treatment options. When Zach was 17 years old, we found out that he had about a year to live. And it was around that time, so that was 2012, that I kind of started thinking about, you know, my other kids and Zach's friends. And I asked Zach if he would consider writing letters to them so that they could have that. Excuse me, I have a cold. To hang on to after Zach was gone, something that was personal for them. And he tried. He tried to write those letters, but it just wasn't coming out the way he wanted it to. And then it was October 2012. I was cleaning up his mess, and I found a folded up sheet of paper that had the lyrics to Clouds on it. And he came home from school that day, and I asked him about it because it was obvious what it was. It was a goodbye to us. And he said, yeah, I've got it recorded. And he pulled out his cell phone, and he put it on the table between us and played it. And that was the first time I heard him singing a song that he'd written.
That was the first time you heard him?
That was his first song, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so then, of course, you know, it was recorded. KS95 kind of grabbed that ball and ran with it and got it on the radio, and things just went crazy.
How did it go crazy? How did that snowball in the social media begin to build from sitting in his room on a piece of paper writing Clouds? He plays it on the phone for you, but today it is all over the world, and not only is he all over the world, but celebrities around the world gathered around. How did this whole thing build?
Well, that's the crazy thing about our story is I don't think this could have happened 10 years ago without YouTube and all of that social media. And really, our story is just about a bunch of incredible people coming together and hearing with their hearts and saying, I want to share in that. And so, you know, we had Carl Diemer from Atomic K Records say, yeah, come on into my studio and record it. You know, Ian Punnett had it on his show, his syndicated show, and encouraged people to visit the video that was made. And the videographer, Mike Raminski, you know, he donated his time and did all of that. And so that's how it started. And then it just kind of went crazy. And that's the part that all of the people that had something to do with this story, we can all sit together, even today when we get together, and say, yeah, this is bigger than us. It's just so obvious that God has taken this song and Zach's story and used it to bring grace into people's lives that we had nothing to do with.
You know, your story reminds me of something that the Holy Father, St. John Paul II, said. He wrote he did a beautiful writing about what it must have been like for the Blessed Mother to receive her son into her heart in the Eucharist for the first time. She carried Jesus in her womb for 9 months, and he grew up, and then he suffered. And after he suffered, he died, rose from the dead, but she received him back into her heart, and those two hearts were beating again. And what that must have been like in that moment. Your story, similar. You have a beautiful son. You raise him. He suffers. But there has been fruit now. How do you receive Zach? How do you carry Zach in your heart today?
Oh, that's such a beautiful thing to think about. I think about Mary has been such a huge part of my journey as a mother with Zach. So I just really connect with her in that journey. And I get to see Zach in the messages that I receive daily from people who have heard the song or seen the documentary, and their lives are changed. And that's a big statement to make, but I hear it over and over again that, you know, this changed my life, or changed their lives in some small way, opened some window of hope for them, which is so bizarre because that's not what the world thinks should happen with a story like Zach. You know, this kid had cancer and he died. We should be angry and frustrated. But what's happened is it's just brought tremendous grace into the world, and I am so blessed to be part of that.
You mentioned how it's impacted so many people, and I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. But you have other children too.
I do, yeah. Callie is 24. She's actually working at Children Cancer Research Fund now, which she's thrilled about because she can give back now to this, you know, fight this disease that Zach died from. Sam is studying biochemistry at River Falls, and then Grace is in the 10th grade at the high school.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And I'm... can only think that this impacted them, you know, as a family, certainly in the natural level, but spiritually it had to have had a big impact on the other kids.
Yeah, you know, I think we all experienced this thing in our own way, and it's been difficult, you know, and we've had to wrestle some things out. Being in the public eye during something like what we went through with Zach was hard. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's really done some beautiful things too to our family. We're closer. But one of the things that I like people to know, because it's very easy to look at our family through what's on YouTube and think, well, they're a wonderful family. You know, they've got it together.
I'll bet you're a lot more normal than they think.
That is the point I was going to make. Yeah. Yes, is, you know, we're just so average. We're just so normal, and we've like I said, had to wrestle some things out and not always seen eye to eye. And I think that's a really cool thing about our story too. And that is one of the reasons that I wrote the book, is because I wanted to invite people in to see that part of us.
The book is entitled Fly a Little Higher, which are obviously the part of the lyrics from right. Cloud, the beautiful song. Go ahead, tell us a little bit about the book. What are you saying to people in Fly a Little Higher?
Well, one of the primary reasons why we've done any of our sharing is because that's what Zach wanted to do. He recognized that we could be a voice to draw attention to this disease because it is underfunded. So that's kind of the primary purpose. But the secondary reason was because of the response that we've gotten from people from all faith backgrounds, demographics across the world, it was obvious to us that there was a need for this story. And so that was the other reason that I went ahead and wrote the book. And, you know, I am not a preachy person. I don't like to share my faith in a preachy way, because I don't need to sell God. God can sell himself. So what I wanted to do with the book is just say, okay, this is how we did it. This is how we did this thing that you've all seen, mm-hmm. and invite people in and then share my faith that way. Just, you know, put them in the driver's seat and see how it was for us. And that's part of sharing that real part, that, you know, kind of, I don't want to say ugly part, but that wrestling part of our mm-hmm. story, because that's what makes us real. That's what makes people connect with us.
There was some unpleasantness, I'm sure.
There was. Yeah. You know, especially when, you know, here your brother is dying, you have a year left with him, and he's off doing interviews and preparing for concerts and that kind of thing. There was, you know, there was some struggle there. And, you know, we would constantly have to revisit, what's our purpose here? What are we doing? What's our mission here? And then, of course, you know, just basic relationships, our marriage, that was a struggle.
Sure.
You know, so we...
And oftentimes it is when there's a crisis with the kids.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you run into that you, on the other side of suffering, you don't really know mm-hmm. or prepare for.
So. Talking about the sides of suffering, that's an interesting concept. There's two sides to this. You're on the outside looking in mm-hmm. to other stories, and then you find yourself on the inside looking out. And that's what you and your family went through. You were on the inside looking out. And the people on the outside, oftentimes, they want to know, because it's a mystery. And there's a mystery to suffering. And of course, you and I and Paul were Catholics. We believe in redemptive suffering. But talk to me a little bit about... talk to us a little bit about being on the inside and redemptive suffering and what you learned about it. And when we talk about redemptive suffering, you know, we're talking about that fruitfulness and something good can come out of something very painful.
Absolutely, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, thank God for our Catholic faith and our understanding of redemptive suffering, because thankfully I had done enough groundwork in my own faith to enter into this, you know, struggle that we had with Zach with that in mind, you know, that this is for something. This is part of something bigger than myself, bigger than Zach. And, you know, when you're on the other side of it, like you were saying, and you're looking in at somebody else's suffering, it's very scary. There's a fear of it because you don't know if you could do that. And when you're in it, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's right. Where all of this theory that you've spent all this time learning, that's where it happens. And I was so surprised by the joy that can be found in the midst of that suffering, because it doesn't seem like that should happen. Counterintuitive, it shouldn't happen that way. But it was just such a powerful place to be, a powerful presence of God that you don't get anywhere else, that yep. You have to be in suffering to have that connection. And you really do understand it with your whole being that God really does meet you there.
It reminds me so much, you know, Laura and Paul, of what Paul said in Colossians 1:24 when he said, "I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and I carry in my body the wounds of Christ," you mm-hmm. know. And Paul looked at suffering very differently than most people. He saw it as an opportunity to join Jesus in loving the world. And, you know, we ask the question, well, if Jesus died for us, why do we suffer? And Pope John Paul II answered it very well. And in Salvifici Dolores, his encyclical on suffering, he said that God is giving you the opportunity to take your small particle of the infinite treasury of God's redemptive, you know, grace, and to use that, and you can even apply it to other people. So with what you went through with Zach, God was giving you a particle to apply, and you could actually say, "Lord, I'm offering up this suffering for," and you fill in the blank. And a lot of people don't realize that. In fact, Archbishop Fulton Sheen said that a lot of suffering is wasted in hospitals, where people just ask why, but they don't actually enter into the loving and participating with Christ. And you did that, and you did that so well. Mm. And that brings something to the world that's very, very powerful. What's a day like for you now?
Well, I kind of liken it to having a toddler in the house where you're busy all day, but you have no idea what you've done. I do a lot of social media stuff, and I've been getting into public speaking. And so I've been doing a lot of speech writing and just trying to figure out what the message is, and spend a lot of time doing that.
You're getting requests from around the country?
Mostly the Minnesota you know, area. Twin Cities area. Yeah.
You're going to be at St. Charles Borromeo.
I am on Tuesday.
Is that this next Tuesday?
Yes.
That's at the Women's Council Connect.
Correct.
How do people get all signed up for that? Yes, that's a St. Charles Borromeo up in Northeast Minneapolis.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, and yeah, if you go to their website, there's under the events, there's a Connect a little button that you can click to register for that. So. Yeah, I would love to see people there. I'll be talking about redemptive suffering and what we learned and hope, and what hope is. And
mm-hmm. Well, I've often thought, you know, people like you and others who have gone through difficulties and pain and suffering in their life, you carry with you what I would call heavenly cash. And that is that people can't say, "Well, you don't understand." Mm-hmm. And you can say, "No, listen. I understand.
Right.
I understand what it is to suffer. I understand what it is to lose something that I love so much, more specifically, someone that I love so much. And God has given me something to say." And so I encourage all of you, if you this coming Tuesday that the Women's Council Connect, go and hear Laura and her story. And if you're struggling, bring those struggles and be prepared to offer those up in union with Jesus. Laura, during this whole time, talk to us a little bit about how the church helped you. I'm thinking sacraments, mass, the rosary, adoration. What did you do to sustain yourself through that whole journey?
For me, the rosary was that rope, mm-hmm. you know, because it was so relevant when you're suffering. The rosary is just such a place for comfort. Mass, the Eucharist, especially now, too, in our grief. I feel Zach's presence more at the Eucharist than I do at his grave, because I just, you can feel eternity opening up to time and those two worlds connecting. And so I feel very close to him there. Adoration, mm-hmm. you know, all of it. That's how we got through.
And from your discussions and observing, how did Zach's faith carry him through?
You know, one of the interesting things about having a child who's dying is, as a parent, I thought I would have all those adult years of formation to be there for him, too. So we really had to sort of speed that process mm-hmm. up. And in his suffering, he just naturally had those questions. And, you know, again, that's what Sister was talking about earlier, these parents preparing themselves. I was so grateful that I had spent years in Bible study and, you know, studying John Paul's writings and those kinds of things, because I had the information to sort of fill in when he needed it. And tons of prayer. Mm-hmm. I screamed prayers in my head all the time when I needed the words.
Uh-huh. You know, that Zach is quoted as saying, "You don't have to find out you're dying to start living." Mm-hmm. That's a great quote.
Wow.
"You don't have to find out you're dying to start living." Was that something that he said once or twice, or was it something that was kind of his mantra?
Well, it was, you know, I think that's just what he lived. He lived that way. He got off that hamster wheel of life, and he really loved it.
Wow.
And it was a good thing.
Well, it's so good to talk to you, and we hope to talk more in the future. Your book is called Fly a Little Higher, and how can people get that?
You can find it pretty much at any bookstore, Amazon, wherever.
Okay. And Tuesday, you're going to be at the Women's Council at St. Charles Borromeo Catholic Church. And so appreciate you coming by, Laura.
Oh, it was my pleasure to be here.
I look forward to talking to you more. Talking with Laura Sobiak, mother of Zach Sobiak. The great song is Cloud, and her book, Fly a Little Higher. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
It won't be long now. When we get back on land, I'll never get my chance. Be ready to live, and it'll be ripped right out my hand. And maybe someday we'll take a little ride.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambeau from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you, who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
In the morning when I rise, help me to prioritize all the thoughts that fill my day. Before my schedule tells me that my day is full.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Joined by, I'm Jeff Cavins, Paul Sadek.
And I'm Paul Sadek.
Hey, we've got a lot going on.
Indeed we do. For one thing, the Theology of the Body and Birth Mother's Retreat, November 8th at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. This is a powerful opportunity for healing and understanding in the relinquishment adoption experience. It's open to women of all faiths. We'll be talking next week with birth mother Erin Merrigan.
Big Argument of the Club for Women. It's back Tuesday, October 21st from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Church of St. Michael in Stillwater. The evening's question will be, in light of the principles of Catholic social teaching, how should we reform current immigration policy? Libation and appetizers at 6, presentation at 7, $10 at the door for women only. More information, call 651-351-3175. That's 651-351-3175. 3175.
And another event for Catholic women. The Northeast Deanery Parishes are presenting ACCW President Lucy Johnson on Leading with Love, Saturday, October 25th at the Church of St. Pius X. That's in White Bear Lake. Registration 8:30, presentation and fellowship at 9, Holy Mass at 11, celebrated by Father Dave Koner. $5 at the door. Call 651-787-0266. That's 651-787-0266.
Another fall festival, St. Albert's in Albertville, that invites you to their fall festival this Saturday, October 12th, 11 to 4 p.m. That's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy a delicious chicken dinner, live music, lots of fun activities for the whole family. For more information, go to churchofstalbert.org. That's churchofstalbert.org.
And options for women. Tri-County Crisis Pregnancy Resource Center in Osceola, Wisconsin is hosting its 10th annual fall banquet this Sunday, October 12th, 5:30 at Ready Randy's Sports Bar and Grill in New Richmond, Wisconsin. Tickets available at the door. Call 715-755-BABY. That's 715-755-BABY. And coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour,
we're going to talk about theology of the body with Jen Messing. We have some other guests lined up. Don't think you're going to want to miss it.
The Rediscover Hour, Friday mornings at 9, Saturday evenings at 6, Sunday mornings at 9 on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.